universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love, for thy mercy, for thy great goodness. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified. We thank you, Father, that we can come to you in sickness and in health, and when we're hurting and when we're in misery, and beseech you to have mercy upon us. Help us, Father, through our trials and tribulations in life, and give us a home in heaven with thee, we pray. Thank you, Father, for this congregation of thy church that's supposed to be closed down and not even supposed to be here anymore. Thank you for our worldwide radio broadcast that goes out to all the earth. We're thankful for our internet ministry and want to pray that you continue to protect it from the hacking that's going on against it. And we pray that you bulletproof that and make it where it'll that many millions can come and hear of Jesus Christ and him crucified on that side. We pray, Father, for our feeding of the poor here. We pray that you'll continue to bless us, help us, and be with us as we go forward to feed the poor. Bless every hand it gives and every hand it takes. We pray thee in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd especially like to welcome Radio North Texas and, of course, all of the other stations. We are making some considerations that are going before our Board of Trustees, and we're talking about possibly cutting out some of these small stations that we have and getting two other larger stations. It looks like that we're going to probably be able to get Memphis, Tennessee, and New Orleans, and we're talking about dropping possibly Mobile in Pensacola, Augusta, Georgia, and Texarkana, and Albuquerque, Santa Fe. So if you live in those areas that we're thinking about dropping, you'd like to continue to get our CDs, if you'll call our church office, we'd be glad to send you CDs, put you on our CD mailing list, and you, of course, can go on our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing, and of course, fair to middling gospel preaching on there. One of the things that we do here is we have a school of preaching, and we teach and train ministers. I was extremely joyful to have Eddie Frazier stand before you 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and stand right here and give a jail report. We trained Eddie Frazier here from 1993 to 1998. In 98, we sent him out on his own. And he has baptized 17,000 people in jails and prisons since 1998. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. And we want to ask that you have that same enthusiasm for Manuel. Manuel is going to probably move on and try to take that church up in the Bronx, New York. Manuel is 50 years old, and the truth of the matter is I'm just not ready to die yet, and I'm not ready to sit down and stop preaching. I think I've got another 10 years left in me if God is so willing. And so it's not right that Manuel have to wait here 10 years before he gets a church. He's baptized 300 or 400 people in the last few years here, and if he had been dealing with someone other than transient people, if he'd have been in a congregation, a regular congregation, he would have already built a church of 400 or 500 people, because them 300 or 400 that he'd have built, he taught and baptized, would have gone and got others who would have gone and got others who would have gone and got others, and of course that's the way Christianity grows. And so we want to pray for Manuel as he gets prepared to move to the Bronx and probably take over that church up there in the Bronx, if not build a church. And that area, as David Tarbett reported to you just a few weeks ago, is the most neglected area in the United States. I did a population map one time and of the United States, and then I did an overlay of where the churches of Christ are, and we're exactly where the people aren't. We begin in Virginia and go through the South here, but all of the people are up on the eastern seaboard, and they're all located around the Great Lakes and California, and so the people are exactly where we aren't in the Church of Christ. And we need to do something about that, and we can do something about that by sending out great ministers that are ready to go, and Manuel is definitely ready to go, as y'all know. We're going to continue studying our lesson that we had last week in Hebrews chapter 1. If you'd open your Bibles with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 1. We were given marching orders by our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel being the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. 22 years ago, I came to this church, and 18 years ago, the responsibility of this church fell on me, and I became the minister. I made a deal with a man here that I would be a volunteer minister here, that I'd accept no pay under the condition that what would generally go as my pay would be used to get a radio program going to all of North Texas of our radio broadcast. And since I'm old and in bad health and I have had several heart attacks and things, even at that time I had a heart attack trying to take care of my wife, I recognized that I couldn't do more than I was doing at that time. I was teaching Sunday school, preaching and teaching Sunday night, doing Wednesday night. I couldn't do more than what I was doing, but what I could do would be get what I was doing out to more places. So that was the whole idea of the radio broadcast. And so we began broadcasting to Radio North Texas, and we've done nothing but grow since. And of course, we dedicated ourselves also to the feeding of the poor. Psalms 41, verse 1 says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. God's delivered me through all of my afflictions in times of trouble. And in Romans 12, 20, it says, therefore, if thy enemy is hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. So doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is a substance, a subsistence, a platform, the foundation, the rock. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? Well, we set our goals real simple, didn't we? We set our goals, preach the gospel to the whole wide world, and feed the poor right here in our neighborhood. Real simple to understand. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you really have Bible faith, it will become substance. You'll be able to see some results of it. If people, as this congregation has, will throw in together and decide to do what God says do, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, we know he's willing that that should take place. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There'll be evidence of it. Oh, how we have proved him over and over. We are dedicated to not asking our radio audience for money. You know, every hustler in the world is on the radio saying, send us money, send us money, send us money. And they all build new buildings, and the preachers drive brand new Cadillacs and live on enormous amounts of pay and all that stuff. And we decided that we're going to be different. We're not going to do that. That we're going to depend on God. But of course, the way God works is that He touches the hearts of individuals who have substance, who have money, and they become they like what they see. They investigate. They see evidence. They see fruit. I mean, when we started, there was 30, 40 old folks, and we buried all but five here. For the whole rodeo, there's Jordy, Martha Woods, Bernie Woods, and Betty Young. And there's Nancy Chapman back there. Did I leave anybody else out that's been here for the whole rodeo? Last 20 years. Well, this is the fruit. There's fruit. There's evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Daniel and his family were Mormons, and they heard the preaching of the gospel on the radio, and they listened for years, and they examined, and they found the Bible to be true, and they put their faith and trust and confidence in God, and came to God in the appointed way, came to this church, and now are members of this church, and will be members of the Church of Christ forever. Amen. And they're fixing to move. Just breaks my heart to see people go. Don't you know that it hurt Peter when John had to go on his missionary journey? You know, it hurts when folks leave. But wherever he goes, there's going to be a Church of Christ. Wherever he goes. And wherever Manuel goes, there's going to be a Church of Christ. And wherever Eddie Frazier goes, there's a Church of Christ, and he teaches thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Our website gets over 1 million hits a year. Last month, we had 10,684 first-time visitors to our website. 10,000 first-time visitors. We had a total of 106,247 hits at our website last month. We've got a total of 6,155 home worship sites. People that are worshiping with us right now today. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, there'll be some evidence of it. The evidence of things not seen. We average 142 hits per hour, or 3,427 hits per day. We downloaded 39,045 sermons last month. That's about 1,300 a day. While I sleep, from all over the world, people are coming. Last month, Brazil became our number one foreign visitor with 700 and 21 people from Brazil coming. Now, they speak Portuguese in Brazil. How in the world would 721 people in Brazil know anything about the Main Street Church of Christ? Well, they had to hear it on shortwave radio. We go out of Nashville on two shortwave radio stations, two 10,000-watt shortwave radio stations. We go out of Nashville every Sunday twice. That covers the earth 1.5 times. Almost 2 times. We miss only the Pacific. Brother Bennett is taking me on the 10th to Nashville, Tennessee, and we're going to sit down and meet with the president of World Christian Broadcasting Corporation, the Church of Christ shortwave radio broadcast that right now, this very minute, the satellite dishes are on the high seas going to Madagascar. They have had problems in Madagascar in getting set up there, getting the government's approval. And they've elected a new government, and the new government's given their approval, and the satellite dishes are on the way right now to the island of Madagascar. And I've negotiated enough. I've wormed this guy on the telephone enough. I told him, look here, brother, you and I are brethren. And I'm 70 years old, and I don't have any time to fool around, and you don't look any younger than I do. And so I've sent you some CDs of our broadcast and what we do. And if for some reason we don't fit your format, I'd like for you to tell me now where I won't waste my time coming up there and I won't waste your time. And we'll just meet in glory. There ain't no sense of meeting down here if we're not going to do business. He said, oh, no. Said we. And so I've got everything but a contract signed. The only thing we need to decide with him is price. The only thing we need to decide with God is how he's going to send the money. Of course, that's all up to him. He's always done it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is it God's will that the gospel go forth from the island of Madagascar? Well, apparently it is. Is it his will that all the people in the Pacific and all the people in China and Mongolia and Russia and throughout Africa and South America and Europe, that Madagascar station is going to cover all of that. It's going to cover everything but North America. And we don't need any more coverage in North America. We're already covered twice in North America. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Revised Version says faith is assurance of things hoped for. The proving. We ought to have proved it by now. If we hadn't proved it by now, we're not ever going to prove it. The proving of things not seen. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We know that he is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, as I pointed out to you last week, this word here, evidence, it comes from a Greek word that Aristotle uses about working out something mathematically. Now, if you can just get it in your head, 2 + 2 = 4. Now, you can count them, 1, 2, 3, 4. 2 + 2 = 4. Now, I've got that in my head. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Can you get that in your head? Can you get that in your head? It ought to be just as simple as 2 + 2 = 4. Take him at his word, and there'll be some evidence. Faith will become substance if you'll take God in his word, there'll be some substance to it, there'll be some evidence to it, and there'll be some evidence in your life. You can talk to me all day long and you'll never convince me 2 + 2 = 3. Never convince me of that. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. The fathers of the Jews, the elders of the Jews, obtained a good report. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were made out of things that do not appear. How did the Hebrew writer know that everything is made out of atoms, it's made out of things that don't appear? How did he know that? Well, by divine inspiration, God revealed that to him. Today's scientists tell us that the universe was created in a big bang. And if you took some matter about the size of my thumbnail and you blew it up, it would make everything that there is in the entire universe. And my granddaddy said that people are crazy. He said they'll stand around naked in a room full of wasps if you charge them something. And I'm telling you, you'd have to be crazy to believe that one. If you've got that and believe, then I've got some swamp land to see. I've got a question for all these PhDs and twiddly DDs. Where did that first piece of matter come from? Where'd the first stuff? If there was some stuff, let's talk plain English, okay? If there was some stuff and it blew up and it become everything else, where did the first stuff come from? Well, the Bible tells us where the first stuff come from. In Genesis 1, it says, "In the beginning, God, Elohim, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," a plural noun, "in the beginning, God created," bara, "spoke into existence out of nothing by divine fiat." God created the first stuff. Now, he uses that word "created" five times in the book of Genesis to describe the creation. And all other times he uses the word "let." And God said, "Let there be light, and let there be this, and let there be that." So the story that's being told is God, out of nothing, created the first stuff, and then out of that stuff, he built everything else that he put together. Now, if you could make a body as an example, but the second time the word "created" is used is where God made conscious life. He made whales and all the great living creatures. And then the third time is when God breathed life, created life into Adam and Eve. You can let and make a body, but you still got to give it life and give that body life. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God," the second part of the Godhead, "moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light." There's the Word of God, the third part of the Godhead. God said, "let there be light," and there was light. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Come to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing. There's all kinds of 1,000 sermons on there, and there's 1,000 written lessons that you can go on there and get your Sunday school classes together and get your sermons together. Hebrews 11:4. "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, i.e. sin offering, when he offered the blood of an innocent victim. God had showed that a bloody sacrifice was necessary when he made Adam and Eve coats of skin. Some little lamb just didn't offer their coat of skin. God created a bloody sacrifice and showed them what death was like. And so Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Abel's spoke, though he were dead, yet he speaketh. He spoke, he preached that by his offering the necessary that it was necessary to have the blood of an innocent victim for atonement with God. Isn't it interesting that Abel's blood cried unto God from the ground for vengeance, while Christ's blood cries for mercy? Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that his blood is crying for mercy for Kelly, because God knows that I've been a sinner. Have mercy upon me. Hebrews 11:5, "By faith Enoch, was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. In Genesis 5:24, it says, "And Enoch walked," or lived, "with God." I want you to live with God, walk with God, have God in your life. Pray day and night. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You've got to believe that he's a God, that he is God. But see, believing itself's not going to save you. The demons, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. So you see, we've got to do more than just believe. We have to flee to him with confidence and reliance. We have to put our faith and trust in his word. We have to flee to him for refuge. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, hey, I'm any man, Lord. I'm any man. He that believeth on me, I shall in no wise cast out. Oh, thank you. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. Here I come, Lord. I'm whosoever. That's me. I'm taking him at his word. It is impossible for God to lie. I'm going to take him at his word. He says that even though I am a sinner, even though I am a rotten dog, even though I do not deserve it, even though I do not merit it, even though I'm not good looking, even though I'm not rich, he's going to take me the way I am, and he's going to help make me into all that I can possibly be in the time that I have left. And he'll do the same for you right now this morning. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to diligently seek him. There's only one way to seek him, and that's in his word. He's not going to strike you with lightning. He's going to come to you and speak to you in his word. Now, he that cometh to God means worship. We have a duty to an obligation to worship God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You worship him any other way and it don't count. Muhammad's not going to get it for you on the day of judgment. I'm telling you that right now. Buddha's not going to get it. Joseph Smith is not going to get it. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is." Some people, it's a manner of them to watch Cowboys, watch Super Bowl, watch playoffs, stay up all night, sleep all day, beat the Baptists and the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians to the cafeteria. Be there first. Get waited on first. Well, it was the manner of the Hebrew Christians already at that time, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some of those Hebrew Christians had already forsook the assembling of themselves together, even over persecution. Now, I'm telling you right now today, our radio audience, if you're in Saudi Arabia, worship in your home. If you're in Iran, worship in your home. Bring in just your trusted family. Just reach out and teach those you know. People that you know won't murder you. Do your best to bring somebody with you to heaven. You can be a secret Christian if ISIS is running amok in the streets. If you have to. And if you get caught, there's a martyr's crown waiting for you. There's a martyr's crown waiting for you. Jesus said, "I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened." The power of prevailing prayer. You got something on your heart and you need it really bad, just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep going to God in prayer, keep talking to the Lord, keep pouring your heart out to the Lord. He understands. He's not indifferent to us. Romans 5:1, it says, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's slewfoot that gives you all the trouble. It's not God. Hebrews 11:7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith." That ark that he built was 450 feet long. It was 75 feet wide and 45 feet tall. It has the storage capacity of 1,000 boxcars. Now, I've seen Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey Circus come to town in 52 boxcars. And they had tents, and they had all them machines and popcorn machines. They had them Coca-Cola machines. They had more than two elephants, more than two horses, more than two giraffes. I mean, come on, guys. Go to our website and listen to that sermon on the flood. You'll enjoy it. There's great evidence for the fact that there was a great flood. You know, they found a piece of dinosaur meat last few years. They found actual meat on the bone. Actual meat. Now, you can feature meat being covered up by mud and being encased in mud, and it still staying meat for thousands of years. But is there anybody in here that can feature it doing that for 60 million years? And staying meat now. I mean, use your head. See, they don't teach this stuff in school. Genesis 6:5. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Man was evil before the flood. 6:13. "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." In Genesis 8:21, after the flood, man's still wicked. "And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." It's evil before the flood, it's evil after the flood. "Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done." I'm not going to do it the same way next time. Instead, next time, he's going to burn it up. "With the word of his mouth and the breath of his lips will he slay the wicked." Faith is to hear God's word. Faith is to believe God's word. Faith is to take action based upon the word of God that you've heard. In other words, faith is to hear, to believe, to do, and to trust God with reliance. Hebrews 11:8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, "And now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And what did Abraham do? Well, he straightway disobeyed. He took Lot and his daddy with him, and he went to Haran. He went halfway there. Haran in Hebrew means fruitless. And Abraham was fruitless for 5 years. Then he went on and he brought Lot to the promised land with him, and it cost him nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. And what is God saying? God's saying, get away from bad influences. I have a lot of old friends that are gangsters. I can't run around with them anymore. If I hung around them, you know, if you stay in the outhouse long enough, you know what you're going to come out of there smelling like? Use your head. Get away from bad influences. Get away from bad people, because they'll lead you astray. What do they call that short on the hit on the pipe? What do they call it? The short hit. You know, the guy's already took the blast. He's took all he could take. And then he hands it to his buddy. And then his buddy just gets a half a hit. See, just a little bit of hit. Yeah, well, they'll let you hang around and get that short all day long. And you'll be a lost dope fiend just like they are. They will. They absolutely will. And as soon as the beer gets hot, they'll give it to you and they'll open themselves a cold. Yeah. I knew a guy one time that robbed banks, and he told me, he said, "Kelly," he said, I was in a cave in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I was smoking that peyote. He said, and the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me in a vision. And he told me, he says, go rob banks and give money to the poor. And so what this guy did is that he'd go rob banks and he'd give the ones and the fives and the tens. He'd go down through the ghetto at night and slip it up under the door, and he'd keep the 20s and the 50s and the 100s for himself. And so he asked me, he said, "Do you believe me?" And I said, "Well, Justice, I believe that you believe that. And I believe that you think you saw a vision. But no, I don't believe that the Lord told you to go rob banks and give the money to the poor." So it was like 5 years, he had air in his jaws. Man, he wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't have anything to do with me, speak to me. And I'm teaching a class at Leavenworth, and I was teaching in the book of Ephesians, and God has people, he controls things. And this guy had never been in my class in 5 years, and he come in and he sit down at the back of the class, and I'm reading in Ephesians right at the right place, and I'm reading along there, and I said, "The Bible says, let him who stole steal no more, but let him labor with his hands." But if you move that comma, see, and so I'm reading along and I said, "Let him who stole steal no more, let him labor with his hands." And he said, "Where is that? Where is that?" I knew that was in there. I knew it was in there. Well, it's not in there, brethren. It's not in there. I'm telling you, it's not in there. 11:9. "By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, in tents." God had told him, "I'm going to give you a land." And Abraham didn't even have a house with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. This land of promise was a type or a shadow of the better thing to come. Canaan land was promised to be a land of milk and honey. And now Christ promises us in this new kingdom of God, in this new Canaan land in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And the Greek word there for earth is land. This new Canaan land, this is a new land that will flow with the hearts of milk and honey will flow in the hearts of men. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Feel like you got the whole world on your back? Take my yoke upon you. Hold it. You're already overcome by labor, and you need rest. And what's the answer? Work. Yoke is work. Pull the plow. Yoke is work. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. That Greek word meek doesn't mean a sissy. It doesn't mean a stooge. It doesn't mean a chump. That word means a wild animal that's trained for service. It means a guy like Kelly. It means a guy like me, a wild beast who has now put that behind him and has been trained in the Master's service. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. I'm telling you, I faced death. I thought I was croaking. I told y'all about it. I thought I was croaking a few weeks ago. And it was peaceful. It was peaceful. It's going to be peaceful to croak. I'm telling you, I'm ready to go whenever he's ready. For he looked for a city which had a foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 12:22. But you are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels. This church of Christ is Mount Zion. We are going to a place that has an innumerable company of angels. 11:11. Through faith Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Just think of the ridicule an old woman who had no children received in those days. Verse 12, therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Genesis 12:15. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed, and in thy child, this one child that's coming, shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. They were out of country. Verse 14. For they that such things declare plainly that they seek a country. A country is where your constitutional rights are. In the case of us, our constitutional rights are here in the United States. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. They could have renounced God and gone back to Ur of the Chaldees anytime they wanted to. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. And that city was four square. Revelation 21:1, and I saw the new heaven and a new earth, And the first heavens and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. What is the bride of Christ? Who's coming down from heaven? The souls of the departed. The souls of all of those who have before the cross looked forward in faith to the cross, and all of those who since the cross have looked faith back in faith to the cross. That's who's coming. The bride of Christ, the church of Christ, the kingdom of God. God is bringing the souls of the departed back. And if every one of them had God's little acre in this new city, it'd be this big. And how big is it? Well, it's big. Verse 16, and the city lies four square, and the length is as large as a breadth. And the measure of the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height were equal. A furlong is 606 feet, 12,000 furlongs is 7,272,000 feet, or 1,377 miles. Or a cube, 1,377 miles long, wide, and high. Is this literal? Can't be literal. It's figurative. God's telling us that heaven is a big place. Have y'all ever seen any of them pictures of the Hubble Space Telescope? There's a lot going on out there. Heaven's a big place. There's room for everybody. There's room for white folks there. There really is. There's room for sinners there who repent. There's room for all kinds of folks. There's room for Indians if they'll come to Christ. Yeah, there's room for everybody. Race doesn't matter. Whether you're a man or a woman doesn't matter. There's room for everybody in this new heavenly city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, when that happened in Genesis 22, verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt, and that's a bad translation, it really should be test, try. God took Abraham on a divine adventure. And he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and there offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I'll tell thee. Christ was crucified on Mount Moriah. In Hebrews 11:18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. How could Abraham do this thing? Well, verse 17 and 18, let's read them together and you can see. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. God had promised him. What had he promised him? Verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. When did God say that? Well, he said it in Genesis 21:12. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight, because of the lad and because of the bondswoman, in all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He got it in his mind. 2 + 2 = 4. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. There was substance to it, and he brought forth evidence of it, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure, as a shadow, as a type. We've studied types and shadows the last few weeks. Just like that, Abraham believed that had he plunged that knife into Isaac's heart, that God would have raised him from the dead and he would have been the Messiah. Verse 20, By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. They believed that a Messiah was going to come through that family. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. In Genesis 15, 13, it had been promised that there'd be an end to that suffering, that after 400 years, God would bring them back. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. And it came to pass in Exodus 1:21, it came to pass because the midwives feared God, that God made them houses. You know something? God will reward you if you obey him. 11:24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He could have inherited the kingdom outright, but instead, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's the second time at the Exodus. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. I encourage you to read the story of the Passover found in Exodus 12, which was a shadow of our Passover, which is Christ. In 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for even our Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. 11:29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as in dry land, which the Egyptians assailing to do were drowned. For we walk by faith, not by sight, brethren. And let me tell you how faith cometh. Romans 10, 17. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, no other way. Verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies in peace. 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained the promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant and flat, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. And women received their dead raised again to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Lazarus died, but he had to die again. But we're going to a better resurrection where we not die no more. And others had trials of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, and they were tempted. They were slain with a sword and wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. The promise had not yet been fulfilled, for the Messiah had not yet come. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com and flee to the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, what must I do to be saved, before it's everlasting too late. This morning, if you're ready to become a Christian, you can put your faith and trust in Christ as Savior. You can believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Put your faith in God and God alone through Christ to save you. Repent of your sins. Come and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be baptized into Christ. Won't you become a Christian? Won't you come now while we stand and sing?